Well, okay, I think we should probably get started. I think probably not everyone's here yet, but well, it is a few minutes past, and we do have plenty of things to talk about. So before I get started on the physics for today, I want to make two quick announcements. So one, I already mentioned this briefly, but the homework deadline I've changed to be next Monday rather than Thursday. And then also, I'm going to send out later today an anonymous survey for all of you just about like how the course is going, pacing, all that kind of stuff. Okay, so with that, let's get back into the physics. So what we were doing at the end of last time was we started rewriting our type mining model in a language that is sort of more useful for things beyond the square lattice. Okay, so we define these primitive lattice vectors A and B. And in this language, I'm going to rewrite my Hamiltonian as the following form. So I have the same four terms as before, but now instead of writing them in terms of two coordinates, like j and l, as I did that index through the lattice, I'm instead using one coordinate, r, which is a vector coordinate that indexes all my points. And then I indicate that I'm looking at copying to the right by changing to the vector r plus the vector a. The next step is we define our eigenstates again with these in momentum space. So they're again basically the same as we had before, but now instead of okay, actually let me not even write with nx and ny, but I'm going to call these na and nb because they're in the directions of a and b. So now in this direction we have na sites, in this direction we have nb sites. This is now e to the I k. K dot r cr dagger, like this. So of course, this is again exactly the same thing we had before, but just in different notation. And of course, we can invert, as usual, that CR dagger is 1 over root n, this being na times nb, times the sum on k, e to the minus I k dot r, ck dagger. OK, so we substitute this in, and we do the algebra same as before. And the result is this Okay, so doing the substitution and pulling things out, separating, you know, distributing or factoring out this piece from all the terms, the result is we get the same thing we had before with the sum of four different exponentials, but now they're all written as k dot a, k prime dot a, et cetera, instead of kxx, kyy, and so forth. This thing is, as usual, equal to delta kk prime. And therefore, we can simplify h is equal to minus t sum on k times sum over v, which I'll come back to in a second what that is, e to the I k dot v ck dagger ck. And then this v is all primitive lattice vectors in which, in other words, in this case is A minus A, B, and minus B. So the notation I'm using here is a little strange. This is a bit not typical notation, because normally you have primitive lattice vectors, you'd only include A and B, and you wouldn't include minus A and minus B. So what I really mean here is all vectors to the nearest sites. Okay, so why is this a nice formulation? So I claim this is nice because it manifestly has the symmetry of the lattice. In other words, if I take a fourfold rotation of the lattice, for example, what you call a C4 rotation, then A goes to B, B goes to minus A goes to minus B, and minus B goes to A. And evidently, the Hamiltonian goes to itself. And furthermore, the energy also goes to itself. And you can similarly deal with any of the other lattice symmetries. So I think that's why this is a very nice formulation. By writing it directly in terms of the vectors in the lattice, you can see the symmetry easily. Now, of course, if you wanted to plug this into a program like Mathematica and make plots and things, then you need to go back to the coordinate language. So of course, we can do that easily And of course, E of k is just minus 2t times cosine of k dot a plus cosine of k dot b, which, as before, is this, the same thing we found yesterday. Okay, so at this point, I'm going to next move on to from the square lattice to do the triangular lattice. We're going to do the same thing, but the lattice is going to be different. And we're going to use this new language, which is going to make it easy. But there's going to be another complication that comes in terms of what the momentum space we're looking at actually is. So before I do that, now is a good time to ask questions. Yes.
Is it generally true that the band structure preserves the lattice symmetries?
Yes, I believe so. As far as I know, that is always true. So I said that's always true as long as the real space hopping pattern also preserves the symmetries. So I could, so when we say lattice symmetries, like in the example in the tutorial yesterday, problem 3, where we made TX and TY different, if in that case you consider the lattice in that case not to have a C4 symmetry. So in that case, the band structure preserves all the symmetries in the lattice, including the fact that the hopping strengths might be different, that might break the symmetry. Does that answer your question?
Thanks.
Yeah, okay, good. Okay, so let's do the triangular lattice. So triangular lattice looks like this. Okay, so I just drew a small section of it. And we're going to look at this particular point right here. So H is equal to, as usual, sum of hopping terms between nearest neighbors. So this point is what we're going to label as R. And our model looks something like this, as usual. Okay, I'm not going to write out all the terms this time. I'm going to write down the Hermitian conjugate to cover half of the terms. But unlike in the square lattice, we now have not just two types of hopping, but we have, let's say, we're going to define this vector here. Okay, let me draw this again so it's more clear. So this is R. I'm going to define this vector to be A. And let's say define this vector to be B, for example. Then I have different hoppings that I can do from my point R. So all the hopping directions are A, B, A plus B, minus A, minus B, and minus A, minus B. So my Hamiltonian should actually have six terms. Let me change my mind about writing the Hermitian conjugate. I'm going to do something slightly different, but let me do this first. Okay, so that's the first three terms. Then we could write the Hermitian conjugate terms as usual, like this. Okay, so this is one way of writing down my Hamiltonian. I'm going to now write it in a slightly different way, which actually turns out to be nicer in the case once we start having multiple multiple sites per unit cell. So in my new formulation, the first three terms are going to be the same, but the other three terms are going to write differently as this. So in my new formulation, all six terms that I have are in the form of CR plus V dagger CR. So I'm going to write the whole Hamiltonian as minus sum on T C minus T sum on R sum on V C R plus V dagger CR. So that's the most compact version of my Hamiltonian. I sum over all the sites in the lattice, and then I sum over every direction that I could hop from my site R to all the neighboring sites.
Can you move the top board down a bit again?
Yes. Let me see.
That's perfect.
Okay. Good. Okay, so to continue from here now, we're going to do the Fourier transform as usual. So we substitute, and the result is going to look exactly what we got before, that H is minus T sum now on K of e to the I K dot V. Sum on V as well. CK dagger CK. So now the result in this language, where we're talking in terms of these vectors going to nearby sites, is exactly identical to what it was in the case of the square lattice. So by using this nice language, the two lattices, which are actually different from each other, we can at least write down this step extremely easily. Now, if you want to translate this to kx and ky, then that becomes actually quite difficult, or at least kind of tedious and annoying. So I'm not going to do that right now, but we're going to do I'm going to do it partially so we can see another complication that appears. OK, so if I write out my E of k, it's just given by this expression in terms of my vectors a, b, and a plus b. So in the square lattice, the next step we did after we found the energy was to sort of draw what our energy looks like in the momentum space and draw what are the level sets, what are the Fermi surfaces for different electron fillings, that kind of thing. So let's try to do that here. Okay, so and so the first question when we want to do that is, what exactly is my momentum space? So in the square lattice case, we had K is in this box minus pi over A to pi over A in both directions. So where did that come from? Where it came from was the fact that so when I found these eigenstates, we had eigenvalues e to the I 2 pi over n times some little n for n equals 0 to n minus 1, right? And then we said that k is equal to 2 pi over n times n. Therefore, k is in the range of 0 to 2 pi, or equivalently, minus pi to pi, right? OK, but where do these eigenvalues come from? These came from the fact that in the eigenvector, a n was equal to a0 lambda to the n, because my translation operator raised to the nth power gives me that n. So I took my, like, let's say in 1D, I took my eigenstate and I shifted it n times. And every time I got a factor of lambda, and that at the end meant that lambda to the n has to equal 1. So let's try to do that in this Schrödinger case. Actually, let me go back to the other board. So in this case, my translation invariance is along the directions a, b, and a plus b. So what do periodic boundary conditions mean? What that means is that if I translate along A n times, I should get the identity. And same thing along B. So what does that imply? Well, we have our eigenstate. We act these on our eigenstates. This is not, sorry, I'm, give me 1 second to rephrase this. I want to say this. Right. Okay. Yes. Sorry. Okay. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Okay. So TA acting on this CK is equal to 1 over root n sum of e to the I k dot r times C of r plus a. Okay. Yeah. Sorry about the confusion, but now I'm back on track. Okay. So this is. Now I'm going to relabel my r. I'm going to redefine this to be r, sum over r plus a. So the result is e to the I k dot r minus a cr dagger, which is equal to e to the minus I k dot a times ZK dagger. And what this tells me is that TA to the N ZK dagger is equal to e to the minus I k dot a to the N ZK dagger. And that implies that e to the I k dot a is equal to 1. N with an N. Okay. Or really NA, I should say. Okay, so in this case, we can do the same thing for B. And what this tells me is that k dot a must equal two pi over n a times some lowercase n a for little n a equals 0, 1, dot, 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 big n a minus 1. And similarly, that k dot b well, it's basically the same. Okay, so now the question is, how do we find these k that are allowed? So like, how do you find the grid of k points that satisfies this condition? The easiest way is to define what we call reciprocal lattice vectors. which satisfy the following conditions, that Ka dot A is equal to 2 pi, and Ka dot B is equal to 0. KB dot B is equal to 2 pi, and KB dot A is equal to 0. In that case, we can let RK be this linear combination of these two vectors, KA and KB. And it will automatically satisfy these two equations, which I'll call star. And we can also conclude then that the space of allowed k points is the parallelogram that's bounded by these ka and kb. So like, let's suppose kb was like this, and ka was like this. This would be my allowed momentum space. Okay, any questions about this?
How exactly does this link to the Brillouin zone?
We will see that very shortly.
Okay.
Yes, so in some sense, this is the Brillouin zone, but just written in different form. So we just need to like chop off parts and move them to other place, move them to the other side of the picture, and then we get the Brillouin zone. But we'll see that in a minute. OK, so for the triangular lattice, we said that A is this vector, and B is this vector. So if we put this into coordinates, this is A times 0, 1, and this is A times root 3 over 2 minus 1 half. So as a result, we get that Ka must be perpendicular to B, so it has to look like 1 comma 0. And then in order to get the right magnitude, when you take the dot product with A, the coefficient is 4 pi over square root 3A. And likewise, KB is 4 pi over root 3A times 1/2 root 3 over 2. So if we draw these, this one looks like this. This one looks like this, more or less. And so our momentum space looks like something like this. And I want to point out something important here. So the area of this space is 4 pi over root 3a squared times sine of pi over 3. So 16 pi squared over 3a, 3a squared times root 3 over 2, or in other words, 8 pi squared root 3 over a squared. For comparison, of course, the area of minus pi over a to pi over a squared is just 4 pi squared over a squared. And this number here is larger than that. I did something wrong. What did I do wrong? Oh, the root 3 is on the bottom. Sorry. Okay. So that was a typo. Root 3 is on the bottom there. But nevertheless, 2 over root 3 is bigger than 1. So this is still larger than this. So that's important because if we naively let k, like kx in minus pi to pi, then we miss part of momentum space. So it's really important that we actually treat this correctly, because otherwise we're just going to totally miss some possible states. OK, so the final thing we're going to do is we're going to turn this into the Brillouin zone that you all either know about or at least have heard of. So I'm going to phrase that differently. I'm going to phrase it as a problem that this shape no longer has the symmetries of my lattice. Like I should have a six-fold rotation symmetry. Obviously, this thing is only a two-fold rotation symmetry. So that's not good. OK, so what's our solution? We're going to use the square lattice as an analogy.
Can you just motivate why exactly it's a problem?
Okay, so, well, in some sense, it's not a problem. I mean, it's actually fine. There's nothing physically wrong. Like, using minus pi to pi would have been a real problem because we would have missed part of the space. This time, we don't have any problem like that. So maybe I shouldn't say it's a problem. It's just not as nice as it could be. And generally, you want to write things in a symmetric form if they can be written in a symmetric form.
Okay, so it's more about, because I mean, it still has some sort of symmetry, right? Just not the same symmetry. But we would want, okay, because you're saying this, the original one has more, and maybe not so much that it's different, but that it has more symmetry, or you really want the same symmetry?
Oh, it's like, I think the problem is that this is like, there is more, there is, we know the actual E of K. We already showed that E of K itself has all the symmetry of the lattice, right? So if we're going to, but if we write E of K inside this shape, that symmetry is going to be hidden from us because, like, you know, it won't look, E of K as it appears here will only, can at most have the symmetry of the space in which you write it. If we transform the space to itself, then that means we've lost some of the symmetries of E of K that we should have. Of course, they're really still there because this is the periodic domain. So like this whole thing is kind of on a torus anyway. It doesn't like sort of fake to talk about where we draw the boundaries, but it's still nice to draw our pattern that we tile in such a way that each individual piece of the pattern that we tile itself has all the symmetries of the original system.
Okay. Can you leave the board there for one moment?
Oh yeah, sorry. Which
I just want to check one thing. Okay, all good. Yeah, thank you.
Okay. I can leave it here. That's fine.
Errol?
So.
I have a follow-up question about that.
Yeah. Okay, go ahead.
So when we talk about the periodic boundary conditions, we say that it is periodic along the direction of A and B. So the area we are considering is not really C6 symmetric?
Okay, so this is actually why last time, do you remember, so at the end of last class, I defined this thing called the Wigner-Seitz cell. So I was actually just going to come back to this in terms of the momentum space, but when you think of the triangular lattice like this way, and so indeed, maybe the answer to your question is once you pick some like vectors A and B, then your choice of A and B breaks the C6 symmetry, of course. But the unit cell that you can draw, if we draw our Wigner-Seitz unit cell we talked about last time, and the triangular lattice, it would look like this. This would be my Wigner-Seitz cell.
What?
I don't know if that's for me. Okay. Okay, we have some audio issues, but if I draw the Wigner-Seitz cell in the real space, that does have all the symmetries. And it's just our choice of which vectors to call A and B out of the six different vectors that sort of seems to break the symmetry, but that's why I like this formulation I showed you before where you write the Hamiltonian as a sum over this V. Somehow the intermediate steps here break the symmetry, but we have the symmetry in the original problem, and we're going to restore the symmetry in the momentum space momentarily. Okay.
I see.
Is it okay if I raise the board all the way to the top? No? Okay,
yep.
Great. Okay, so in the square lattice case, our original space that we used put momentum in was from 0 to 2 pi and 0 to 2 pi. And then we said that this isn't very nice. We want it to be symmetrical. So we made it symmetrical. By going from minus pi to pi in both directions. So what you can think of is, you know, we took these regions, these ones ended up like, or as I say, like this one, and this one. That's hard to see. No, let me draw it this way. We like move pieces around like this. So this A, and so this piece stayed where it was. A moved to the bottom, C moved to this side, and B moved here. So we just took our space and we rearranged it this way. So one way to think about what we did here is that Ka for this lattice, the square lattice, is equal to 2 pi over A times 1, 0. And Kb is 2 pi over A times 0, 1. And so one way I could have gotten my new symmetrical form is I can form a lattice out of these reciprocal vectors. Which is called the reciprocal lattice. And then I define the Brillouin zone is the Wigner-Seitz cell of the reciprocal lattice. So in this case, I want to find all the points that are closer to this point than to any of its neighbors. So I take the line between these two points, I divide it in half. So all the things to this side are closer to my point. I take this, I divide it in half. Everything closer is to everything on the upper side is closer to this point. Here, I divide in half, everything on the bottom side. Here, I divide in half, everything on the right. And the result is this square, which indeed is the one I drew here that goes from minus pi to pi. This is one way of constructing, in a non-ad hoc way, this more symmetric version of my momentum space in the square lattice. So then now we're going to do the same thing with the triangular lattice. So I wrote down my Ka and Kb before, but let's just draw them. So here's Ka, and Kb is like this. So the full lattice then looks like this. And my Wigner-Seitz cell that I can draw looks like this. So this here is the Brillouin zone for the triangular lattice. Okay, so now I want to claim that given the 2 pi periodicity in k dot a and k dot b, this is equivalent to the parallelogram that I wrote down before. So to actually prove that is kind of annoying. Like, you can do it in the same way I did here, where I take, identify different regions, A, B, C, and I move them around and make the new shape. So we could do that, but I'm going to do, in the last minute of our class, just a quick check. Which is the area. So the area of this thing is 6. Four, we have 6 different triangles. Each triangle has a side length, or rather I should say it this way. So this region, this thing right here is 2π over root 3a, right? So 6 times our triangle, which has a height of 2π over root 3a. And then that means that this whole thing, or that this piece right here, is equal to 2π over a. And then the area of the triangle is the product of these two things. So it's 6 times four pi squared over root 3a squared. And I made a mistake. What did I do?
I guess it's 2π over 3a instead of 2π over a.
Yes, you're correct. Thank you. Okay, 3 root 3, and this is equal to 8π squared over root 3a, which is the same thing we had before. So we haven't exactly proved that this space is the same as the parallelogram, but at least they have the same area and momentum space, so it's plausible, and you can manipulate it and you know, make a nice drawing and cut it up and rearrange it and make the shape if you want to. Okay, so this is good timing. We've ended exactly what I wanted to finish for today. So this is basically now everything you need to know about band structure in 2D with one site per unit cell. So the now we're finally going to come back on Thursday to the question of what happens when you have multiple sites per unit cell. And we'll do that first in one dimension and then in 2 dimensions. I will also say that we haven't talked here at all about 3 dimensions, but you started doing 3D stuff on the tutorial yesterday. But in general, 3D is directly analogous to 2D. There's nothing that happens in 3D that's different than 2D, except that the pictures are harder to draw.